On June 29, every year, we celebrate the solemnity of Saints Peter and Paul, the two of the greatest apostles. It happens that this year, June 29, is the ninth day since the death of our little sister, Margie. So we have a lot to reflect on. Two great apostles and one little sister. I think both Peter and Paul, well, and all the saints, and Margie herself would find this combination very beautiful one, because in life Margie was very small and seemingly insignificant, but when she's in heaven, she's great with the great saints. Let's reflect on Peter and Paul. The first thing we might think about them is that they have had enormous impact on the church in their own lifetime and ever since. If you want to think about Peter, just think about the Basilica of St. Peter in Rome, one of the biggest churches in the world, and certainly the most famous of all the Catholic churches. When people want to give a symbol of Catholicism, they usually put a picture of St. Peter's. That church is built over the tomb of St. Peter the Apostle. It represents the place of Peter the Apostle in the church. He's the first bishop of Rome, meaning the first pope. He's the rock. He's personally chosen by Jesus Christ to be the foundation stone on which he would build his church. He's given the new name, Peter. Remember, his name was Simon. Now he's Peter, which means rock. He's the solid foundation stone on which the church is built. A giant, the first of the apostles. We can think of St. Paul, an extraordinary missionary, a man whose zeal for spreading the gospel still inspires us to this day, who wrote, 13 letters that are in the New Testament. St. Paul, the example of what it means to proclaim the word, what it means to go to the ends of the earth and spread the gospel. So these two are giants. These two are just have had immeasurable impact on the church. That's the first thing that we think of, and this is why we have this feast day in their honor. Not only that, they both laid down their lives for the faith in the city of Rome. That's why the Church of St. Peter is there, and that's why the Church of St. Paul is there. The basilicas are there, because that's where they were martyred. So great saints, great teachers, great pastors, great apostles, great martyrs. They share this feast day because they're considered the founders of the Church of Rome. They weren't martyred together. They weren't martyred even in the same year. But they were both martyred in Rome, and they're the foundation stones of the Church of Rome. Now, after we get past that impression of greatness, we recall that they're also ordinary men. Peter, we know, for all his greatness, had his weaknesses. He was impulsive. He opposed the Lord when Jesus proclaimed that he was going to die. He denied the Lord on the evening of Holy Thursday and morning of Good Friday. When people asked him if he was a disciple of Jesus, he denied him three times. In today's first reading, we see Peter in jail. And in maximum security. I mean, he's surrounded by soldiers and he's chained. And all of a sudden, an angel appears, the chains fall off, the gates open, and Peter says, this is not my doing. In fact, I don't even know if this is real or not. What Peter knew was he was not operating on his own power, because on his own power, he was a weak man, an ordinary fisherman from Galilee. But when he submitted himself to the power of God, when he was living by faith, there was no stopping him. No chains, no gates Not even the gates of the netherworld could hold back St. Peter. And what we see from this is greatness does not come from human effort or from human gifts. It comes from God. God is the one who makes us great. God is the one who made Peter great. He took an ordinary fisherman, simple, uneducated man, and made him great, made him a rock. In the case of Paul, he had more human greatness. You know, he was well-educated. He was a Roman citizen. He had influence in the church. But he was full of himself. Remember, he thought he was going to save the world from the errors of the Christians. When Jesus appeared to him, Paul realized he was nothing, and that his efforts to change the world were nothing. What was important was Jesus Christ, his death and resurrection, his gospel proclamation. So after his conversion, St. Paul dedicated himself to the gospel. And he never claimed importance for himself. He never said, I am great because I am great because I do great things. He said, God is great and he does great things through me. So we see in Peter and Paul this combination of greatness and ordinary, humble, simple people. We could go on and on about Peter and Paul, but I want to spend a little bit of time reflecting on Margie. Margie is the opposite of Peter and Paul. When the first impression that you have of Margie is not that she's a big, great, enormous person, that someone's going to build a basilica in her honor. That's not at all what people would think. The first impression you have of Margie is she's a simple person, childlike, small, uneducated, seemingly insignificant. But, see the opposite? See, when we think of Peter and Paul, we think, oh, they're great guys with big basilicas. But then we look at them, we see how simple and humble they are. With Margie, you see how simple and humble she is. But then as you reflect on her life and her impact on us, you see what a great woman she was. So these are my memories of Margie anyway. I don't know what she was like at home. I know she was a little bit stubborn. She was, but here, and she was a big part of Anuim life. She was a very committed member of the young women's group. In fact, maybe the most committed member, because she would be here. And she, when she was here, she was happy to be here. She was smiling. She was serving. She was giving joy to people. Whatever the young women's group did, she did it. If they were going to dance and sing, she would dance and sing. If they were going to distribute the Anuim way, she would distribute the Anuim way. If she was going to serve breakfast, she was out there carrying breakfast to the children. She was a delightful person to have here in Anuim. Sister Barbara had a special fondness for Margie. Margie and Sister Barbara were good friends. I remember when Margie made her first Holy Communion right here. Were you here, some of you? Margie, because she wasn't educated and she wasn't in the system, she was never trained in the faith. And so when she was coming here and everyone else was coming up to go to communion, she didn't. So I don't know what happened. I think Sister said, how come you don't go to communion? She had never been trained. So who was it that taught her? Was it Yoli? Were you the catechist for Margie, or was that Angelica? Maybe Angelica. Anyway, Margie, she really wanted to receive Holy Communion, but she had to learn the basics of the faith. So she was really happy to receive her first Holy Communion. And then every time she came to Mass here, she was so happy to come up and receive Holy Communion. Now, last week, we know Margie was getting weak, and then she ended up in the hospital. She died on June 20th. I was amazed to learn she was 30 years old. I always thought of her as a little girl. She's a very childlike person, so I always thought she was about 10, 12. So I know that she got weaker as she got older, and she was not able to come here very much anymore, and I know her energy went down. But her lasting impact, she didn't teach, she didn't write any documents, she didn't do any great works. her lasting impact is her gift of herself, her gift of her smile. She was simply herself, and she was giving herself all the time. That makes her a great person. That makes her a great example of the Anuim life. Simple, childlike, joyful, selfless faith. That's what we see in Margie. That's what I saw. So that's why I was really happy to be able to offer this Mass for her. I don't know if there was any funeral Mass. She died so quickly, and then with the COVID and the distance, and she was buried right away, I think the next day. So we just didn't have any opportunity to honor her or to offer our condolences to the family. So when we said, well, let's do something for Margie, the family said, well, perhaps on the ninth day it would be good. And that's appropriate. It's the end of the novena. Unfortunately, her mother can't be here. She's still in the province. But we offer our condolences to the family. But we also thank the Pakate family that Margie was part of our life here in Anuim. She was so often right here in the chapel. She used to sit there. Used to sit there, Margie. Sometimes she'd sit with Sherilyn, or she would sit with Angelica. So her example of simple, joyful faith is a very powerful one. And I think we have a lot to learn from her. So as we pray for her entry into eternal glory, we know that St. Peter, who holds the keys, very happy to let her in. But we also are learning the lesson of what it means to be great in the Lord. Greatness does not mean having a basilica or having a worldly accomplishments. Greatness means responding to God. Greatness means humility and faith, love, service. And that's where Margie shows us the way. So we pray for her. We give thanks to God for her. And we also learn from her the Anuim way.